In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our sermon text is both our Old Testament reading from 1 Kings 19 and our Gospel reading from John, chapter 6. Brothers and sisters in Christ, for this is the will of my Father, says Jesus, that everyone who looks to the Son, everyone who believes in him has eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day. This is eternal life. Here and now. You entered it when you were born of water and the Spirit by holy baptism, and that free gift of life will be brought to completion on the day of our Lord's return when that trumpet sounds and he raises every last person in this world from their grave. Our hope and our peace as believers is in Jesus, who gave his flesh as life for the world. God's will is to grant you this faith through the word of Christ, that you may not perish, that you may not be cast into the fires of hell, but be brought into eternal life in his kingdom that has no end. This, in fact, is the whole purpose of St. John's Gospel. Indeed, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, John says, but these things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing in him you may have life in his name. From before the foundations of the world, God chose you and me in Jesus Christ that we would be holy and blameless before him, and he intends to complete what he started. When the days are complete, Jesus will raise you up in glory. But the days between your resurrection at baptism and your resurrection at the last day are not yet complete. And in this life, between those two resurrections, we face worse enemies than Jezebel, who vowed the death of Elijah. We face down our own flesh, which daily has many opportunities to give into temptation. We face the world, which is fundamentally opposed to Christ's holy church. We face the devil, who has been rebelling against his creator since nearly the beginning. Consequently, Luther writes, every Christian must endure such great, grievous peril attacks, grievous enough that if they come at one time, as long as we remain in this vile life, when we are attacked and hunted and harassed on all sides, we will cry out and pray every hour that God may not allow us to become faint or weary or fall back into sin and shame and unbelief. Otherwise, it would be impossible to overcome even the smallest attack. Accordingly, we Christians must be armed and expect every day to be under continuous attack. Then we will not go about secretly or heedlessly as if the devil were far from us, but will at all times expect his blows and fend them off with the armor of God. For he is an enemy who never lets up or becomes weary. When one attack ceases, new ones will arise. Hence we pray, deliver us from evil. And that includes all the evils that befall us under the devil's kingdom: poverty, disgrace, death, and in short, all tragic misery and heartache, of which there is such incalculable and immeasurable weight that we experience on a daily basis. For because the devil is not only a liar, but a murderer as well, he incessantly seeks our lives and vents his anger by causing accidents and injury to our bodies. He crushes some, he drives others to insanity. Some he drowns in water, and many he hounds to suicide or dreadful catastrophes. Therefore, there is nothing for us to do on earth but pray without ceasing against this arch enemy. For if God did not support us, we would not be safe from him for a single hour. We have no pagan queen pursuing our lives because we put her false prophets to the sword. But we can just as easily be driven to despair as Elijah was, We can doubt that there is any good future for us at all in this vale of tears, in this valley of sorrows. Perhaps some of you feel today as Elijah did, who cried out, "Enough now, God, enough, take my life." Elijah had simply had enough of everything that goes along with being a servant of God. It is a great gift to be called to his service in each and every vocation. And all vocations are a life lived under the foot of the cross of Jesus Christ. Elijah was tired of holding to the word of God in the face of suffering. He was tired of speaking when God called him to speak, of being silent when God called him to silent. He was tired of being ridiculed and the persecution and trying to do the right thing. "Enough now, God," he cried. "I can't take any more. So take my life," Elijah says. But even if you do not feel like Elijah now, it is likely that in the past or in the future you will, or you will be in contact with one who feels this way. The gift of following Jesus is a cross in your life, a life lived under the foot of the cross, a life, yes, that leads to death, but a life that leads to resurrection. First and foremost, there is the cross. It will, it must be there, publicly or privately. The cross is the very shape of a Christian's life, you see. It is unavoidable. Elijah then very understandably tried to escape the cross by praying for death, and he figured he was already dead. The only question was whether it would be by Jezebel's hand or by God's hand. But look at this. An angel touched him and said to Elijah in the midst of suffering and despair, "Rise, eat." And he looked and saw a cake from glowing coals and a jug of water. He ate, he drank, he lay down to sleep again. And the angel of the Lord returned a second time, and he touched him and said, "Rise and eat, Elijah. The journey is certainly too much for you." And he rose, and he ate, and he drank. And he went then in the strength of that food of God for 40 days and 40 nights until he reached the mountain of God, Horeb. Dear saints of the living God, whether you cry out with Elijah or not, whether you know it or not, the journey is too much for you as it is too much for me. Elijah says, "It's too much." And God says the journey is certainly too much. God knows far better than Elijah that Elijah can never stand up against all the enemies of God. That is why Elijah says, "Enough, I can't take it anymore." And God says, "You are right." So the Lord sends an angel, a messenger with food, to feed Elijah, so that he has enough strength to go 40 more days without food. This is God's word to you. The journey is too much for you. This life, your flesh, they are all too much. The devil is too much for you. He doesn't take summers off. You will not survive unless you eat the bread of the Lord, the bread he gives you to eat. Your thirst will never be quenched unless you drink what the Lord gives you to drink. You will never make it to the last day, to the resurrection, unless you eat the living bread that comes down from heaven. Not only is your flesh weak, your spirit is too. Repent. You and I have taken his gifts for granted, not seeing the journey as too much, but trying to go it on our own and thinking that our strength is enough. But nevertheless, Jesus has come down to do the will of the Father. He gave his life for you. He knew you could not take the wrath of your enemies, sin and death and the devil, so he allowed them to take his life instead of yours. God would not take Elijah's life. But he gave his very own unto death upon the cross for you. And that sinless sacrifice, that obedience unto death, has led to the eternal payment for your eternal sin and for mine. And look at this, the messenger of God, God himself in the flesh, our Lord Jesus Christ, is here for you today, because the resurrection always follows the cross. He is pointing you to himself. He is saying to you, rise and eat this day, for the journey is certainly too much for you. The one who comes to me will surely never hunger, Jesus says. And the one who believes in me will surely never thirst again, for I am the bread of life. Everyone who eats the perishable bread of this life will die, like the Israelites in the wilderness. But everyone who eats the bread from heaven will never die. Have you had enough of this world? Do you want rest? Then today Jesus says to you, come to me, all who labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. There is rest here for you today. Not in some vague sense of a smiling Jesus, not in a spiritual vacation, but in his blessed word and his holy supper. These very promises of God are for you this day. These are as concrete and physical as the food that Elijah ate. Elijah ate cake from the glowing coals. Isaiah's lips were touched with a glowing coal from the altar, and we eat bread from the altar of the cross, by which Jesus has given his own flesh for you and for me for the life of the world. We eat him by faith as he comes to us in his word. We eat him by faith also in bread and wine, in the simplicity of bread and the simplicity of water. Elijah was strengthened for 40 days' journey to the mountain of God, to Horeb. Yet in the simplicity of bread and in the simplicity of wine, we are strengthened for a lifelong journey to the mountain of God, the new Jerusalem, Mount Zion, the resurrection to eternal life. I know these things today seem so simple, words, water, bread, and wine, but they are nothing less than Jesus for you. His never-ending love, his never-dying life, here for you in word and sacrament. Beloved, rise, eat. The journey under the cross is too much for you. But in this holy food is Jesus for you. He is your strength. He is your might. He is your deliverance. He is your salvation. He is your forgiveness. He is your life. He is your God who was dead and is alive again. So rise up, dear saints, rise up. Come and receive Jesus, the bread of life, that you may be forgiven, redeemed, strengthened, and comforted now, and on into life everlasting. Amen.